Coffee by the campfire, a mother effer says.
Coffee by the campfire.
Like cowboys.
Oh, God.
You know?
Coffee by the campfire.
The cowboys have La Crusette.
I don't know if they had La Crusette, but I think they had French presses, right?
Oh.
Or those other, or mocha pots, I guess. Mocha pots.
Mocha pots. I don't know.
I'll tell you what I do know, but this is Brocast 3
or 4.
Good afternoon, welcome. Good evening, welcome.
Morning and...
Good morning and night, welcome. And welcome to Brocast
3? 5?
We don't know.
It's something like that.
We don't know. I guess the fumes from the bonfire are kind of going into my head a little bit.
Yeah, it feels kind of nice.
Yeah. Asphyxiating. That's a difficult word to just whip out.
Monoxide-y.
A little bit monoxide-y.
Yeah.
Tell you what's not monoxide-y. That's those jarlings over at the Jar Media Patreon.
Patron.
I can't do the French thing. I'm sorry.
Le petit patron.
They make the audio version of the show possible and get their names read out in the first or second week of each month. Just missed it last episode, but as always, next month.
There's always another month.
There's always next month, and there's always something on the docket. We've got a docket. We've only got a short little housekeeping to do this week. I like doing that sometimes, just pinching it down, you know? Just pinching it and...
Like the bits on a pasty.
What? Bits on a pasty?
Yeah, to make it have the wiggle.
Bits on a pasty to make it have
pinch
a wiggle.
It. Yeah. Right? That's how they make pasties.
I'm not sure, brother.
I think so.
Make it... What's a global equivalent of a...
A pasty.
A pasty.
Yeah.
They probably call it... Like the way Americans call scones...
Biscuits.
And no. That mess.
I was... someone... A little anecdote. Someone I know was in a British pub in America.
Hmm.
And they had pasties on the menu.
Oh, in a pub, like a freshly made pasty.
It was called like a Cornish pasty.
Mm, okay.
And the waitress was like, "The Cornish pasty is really good."
Nice.
So, a pasty, for those who don't know what a pasty is.
Well, yeah. This is the housekeeping segment where we hit up some of the interesting comments that left some of the conversation... be desired, something to be addressed, like this. This from Jagon the Mike 4102. Alex has the hands of a murderer, soft but vicious. Jim has the hands of a man who knows his way around a town. There's a tenderness to them, but also a finality. Both hands could take a life, but while one would relish it, the other would not.
That's my least favourite comment we've ever had. That's terrifying. That's horrible.
Why are they always characterising me as the horrible murderer?
Yeah, that's freaky. Soft but what?
Soft but vicious.
Okay.
Okay. Someone replied to that. Timothy. Mark my words, Mindhunter will return after Alex makes his first kill.
Jesus Christ.
I guess I've noticed that, like, I don't know, is it just like how I look or something? When I go to like the supermarket and stuff, I'm normally tailed by the security person. And he's I know what he's doing. I know exactly what he's doing. And he's like acting like, "Oh, just looking at paracetamol, nothing mm-hmm. going on here." And so you're just going everywhere I'm going.
I guess you kind of have smuggler vibes. And
I guess I do have smuggler vibes.
You got smuggler vibes, and like, I guess you could call what do you call it? A shoplifter. A shoplifter kind of smuggles goods out of a shop, right?
I guess. And they've never called me on it, but they suspect me of it.
Yeah.
And that hurts.
You've got hoodlum characteristics.
Well, speaking of hoodlums, Varake says, "Jim straining to think of unhinged media obsessions and failing to come up with Mad Max had me screaming at my monitor."
It's not unhinged. It's balanced. I can see.
Checkmate.
You were always better than me at chess.
Not true.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think it's unhinged, though. Just because, like, you really like something, I feel like the unhinged part is when it kind of absorbs.
I think they're only saying unhinged because that was, like, I think that was the question that was being asked, was, like, what are you the most... It was in the phrasing of the question.
Yeah, I guess...
I don't think they're just straight up calling you unhinged.
Yeah, but, my interpretation of the question is, like, what do you have an unhealthy relationship with, like...
Mm.
In terms of media.
Right.
And I guess it kind of consumed a lot of my, like, discussions for years. So, I guess they're right. Like,
yeah. And finally, Skak Newman says, speaking as a small Welsh man who just came back from a week in New York... Nothing can prepare you for it. The traffic, the noise, the smell, there is nothing like it. And he just left it at that.
Okay.
It's kind of ominous, because it's like he doesn't say either way if he liked it. Is the smell good? Is the noise good? Or were you distressed by the traffic?
Is he saying don't go to New York? And is the fact that he's Welsh and small, is that important?
Yeah, small Welsh. Is he saying that like that? Those factors would greatly affect.
Small Welsh people are known to have like really sensitive hearing and sense of smell.
They're known to have a particular time in New York. Whereas if you're a big Scottish man or woman.
Yeah, it's great. It's just awesome.
Okay. So I have to keep that in mind. Do they have like a guide? Like a spreadsheet so I can figure out like if I'm gonna enjoy New York or
you've got to do like your ancestry .com results and you get like cross-reference it with the genetic variations that work in New York.
We got a curry yesterday. We went out and got a bite and the waiter found it humorous that I knew that there was like some Irish DNA because I like.
Oh right.
I don't even know why I brought it up, but it came up some reason, and then he.
That's your unhealthy obsession. You're like 3% Irish DNA.
Yeah, vague DNA links to whatever.
Belfast or something.
Yeah. But he was he found that funny, and I guess he's one of those kind of waiters where he's like. Practicing his stand-up as well.
Yeah.
But he must be like around my age or something because he's whipping out like millennial memes.
Okay.
Just memes in the comedy. I guess that's our reality now. Like we got the meme. We got memers in there.
Yeah.
Doing their stand-up. But the reason I bring that up, the waiter situation, is that we went out somewhere else to celebrate. It was like my belated birthday meal or something. Went to a tapas place, which was yummy or whatever. But there was one big takeaway from that meal.
Yeah, I think I know where this is going.
The subject of tequila worms came up.
Mm-hmm.
Something I wasn't familiar with. Because at the end of the meal, the waiter came over and was like, do you want shots? And they were like free, so it was like, okay, sure, I'll have a tequila shot. So of course, this topic of the tequila worm comes up. My father was there, and he was saying about how he had a roommate that would like fight over the tequila worm.
He wanted to prove himself in the...
There was a masculinity attached to the tequila worm.
Mm-hmm.
Some kind of like, you eat the hottest chili to prove something. It's kind of a similar thing where it's like, I'm gonna eat the tequila worm and...
Yeah, he was describing it as kind of a ritual that makes you spin out and, like, hallucinate. You see, like, a different timeline.
So I've never heard of the tequila worm, so I'm like, they're messing.
Yeah.
I even Google like tequila worm, and the first result is like, don't believe the tequila worm myth. So I'm thinking like, they're lying. They're just trying to yank the chain. And then someone mentions to the waiter, oh, have you ever tried the tequila worm? And just like completely deadpan, he's like, oh yeah, I've tried the worm.
Yeah, it was like, I was in Mexico. I had many worms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then I'm like, oh, so it's real.
It's real. It's confirmed by a third party.
All this worm lore that I just, it's been there for so long. And I did some research because I was genuinely asking myself, like, would I eat the tequila worm? Would I mess with that worm? And for some reason, it was important to me what that worm would become. Mm. Is it like a caterpillar situation that's going to turn into like a butterfly? Or is this like a grub that's going to be like a gross something you just don't even want to think about, you know?
Yeah.
And luckily, the tequila worm turns into a moth.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. And it lives in cacti.
It feasts on the fruit that you make tequila out of.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know how the guy figured out that if you put it in the drink, it changes the flavor. That's why.
Is that why they?
Yeah, yeah.
Do they still do that? Do they just not have the worm in the bottle?
It's like a certain type of tequila.
Okay.
Will have the worm.
Right. So does it turning into something beautiful make it better to eat or worse?
It makes it neutral to eat instead of like horrible.
So if it stayed ugly, then it would be bad to eat. You wouldn't want to eat it.
There's something about grubs, you know?
Yeah, I mean, because I'm kind of the stance like it
a
is
a grub.
Yeah, a grub's a grub. If you're going to eat a grub, then...
I'm going to be honest. I have no good reason for why I feel that way. I just am.
It's like an emotional response.
It's completely emotional driven, like no logic. Like, that's just how that's going to be.
That's fair.
Yeah, got no way to justify it.
Okay, so the conclusion, would you worm?
I think I would have to try the tequila worm. Worst comes worse.
Wow. Worms,
a little protein
worse.
Snack.
Uh-huh.
You know, soaked in tequila.
That's best case scenario. Worst case scenario, you
spin out on tequila worm.
Yeah, or it wasn't dead and it grows within.
Last of Us sort of situation type of thing.
Yeah. Mothman type stuff.
Speaking, I guess, of video game television, Coastlinium can get us started on this topic that I want to talk to you about. I don't know if you guys still talk about TV shows or not, but what do you think about the Fallout TV show? This is also prescient with last episode we had that person who collated buzz words we'd said over many, many episodes.
Oh my god, yeah.
One of them was Fallout.
It's gonna skyrocket.
I kind of briefly mentioned my thoughts on episode one a few episodes back when you hadn't seen any of it, but we've both seen it all now.
Yeah. I binged the hell out of it.
Yeah, it is very bingeable. It's kind of written that way. Man, I gotta say, I was pleasantly surprised, because from the ads and stuff, I thought, this ain't gonna be good. Like, there's no way, right?
Yeah, and I thought, if anything, it was gonna be, like, Halo TV.
And in my mind, like, the weight still leans towards, like, bad adaptations.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even when everyone was hyped about The Last of Us... There's nothing like really exciting outside of that one episode, like episode 2 or 3, that's like its own self-contained story. I'd just rather play the games. Where I was saying this to you, I think yesterday.
Yeah.
This Fallout show offers something to me that I can't really get from the games, and actually, if anything, would now make jumping back into Fallout 4 or something like this better for me, because now I actually have a little bit of context as to, oh, that faction is that, I guess that's their motus, that's their motivation. And it just had the right tone.
Yeah. Even though all the factions in the show are like pre-established ones from like the first two games,
right, Yeah, because I've never fit, like, for context, I've never finished a Fallout game.
Mm.
I've played maybe like 10 hours of Fallout 4, 5 hours of New Vegas, and a couple hours of 3.
Yeah.
So I know nothing. Which was part of what was interesting about you bringing up yesterday in our conversation. Tell me about, like, the nerd stuff, the lore bits.
Yeah.
So they're talking about stuff that I guess I must have missed, like, loads of details. Because I was picking up, like, oh, that's the med kit thing from the game.
Yeah.
That's a reference there. That's obvious stuff. But beyond the surface level, like, names of places and references to events and things I wouldn't pick up. But
yeah, of which there's, like, loads of... down to the like nitty gritty of the like set design, and it's one to one. The computers are identical to the computers
the
in the game.
Mini game.
Yeah, there's a character hacks at one point, and it is the mini game.
There's something about that like retro aesthetic that does so much of the heavy lifting for me, where that. Something about it, like it somehow avoids the corniness that other adaptations really have to me, like the Uncharted film, or even what, like that Cyberpunk show and stuff like that. There's like a corniness, a self-awareness to the tone that diffuses some of the more goofy stuff that might bother me in other places, because it is colorful, it is weird, it does have a pretty light-hearted tone for most of the time.
Mm.
Is able to whip out some more kind of serious, or
it hits both the drama and the comedy,
yeah,
I think equally well for the most part. It made me appreciate Fallout 4's art design more, because the jump from New Vegas to Fallout 4, like the vibrancy, like the everything pops.
Yeah. And that was something I remember people kind of liked about 3 and New Vegas, was it's like the grayest, gray browny.
I mean, New Vegas, kind of? I mean, it's based in Vegas, so it is more like colorful than 3, but still, like everything's kind of washed out and murky, and like you really feel the filth in those games, in 3 and 4, and 3 in Vegas.
Yeah.
Fallout 4's a bit more polished, but I think, like, due to the set design and stuff in the show, you get that filthiness. And
And also, like, down to the costume design and the contrast of like the people in the vaults that are squeaky clean. They like filter their language and stuff like that. Like they won't swear, and they're just kind of like overly nice, like a caricature of like the nuclear family, basically.
Yeah.
It's just like been preserved. And that constant like jump and juxtaposition, I guess, of that is like a constant source of good humor for me. Some of the best humor was that stuff for me.
It can hit that angle way better than the games, because
it was kind of like a different thing, like when, like in New Vegas, which is a lot of people's favorite Fallout, a lot of the humor is in the writing of like the responses, like, oh, that's a really funny response I could say if I wanted to lean this way, and they might have a funny thing to say back. But that's like, that feels different than like the comedic timing you need to the flow of a TV show. And it never goes into like, I said like self-aware, and that is part of it, but it's not like Deadpool-y. It doesn't feel Marvel-y, even though it could almost get there at points. But it just avoids all these things. Like you're saying about the sets, like I was loving that too. Like the production design is really good. Like, when you're in the vault, it feels like they're in a vault, and there's like a big door that moves, and you know, there's a lot of like practical decisions with the tools they're holding, and even the power armor in certain ways.
Like, yeah, because you said about it looking kind of cosplay-y, and it did kind of feel that way at points, but
yeah,
in at other times, it like you totally believe it. It feels...
Yeah, I brought that up in the first episode because there's like a shot of like five dudes in power armor, and I thought it was going to be more like the Halo show where there's loads of like camera flying around, CG guys just sprinting, and it's just like total schlock.
Yeah.
And they never really go there. It's reeled back, and I was glad with the structure of it being like character led, and it's like each one builds up to something interesting. Cuts goes to Walton Goggins, see what he's up to. He's got the whole element of jumping forwards and back in time and like just sprinkling all these different locations, and it's like how's this all like linking characters, like splitting up, meeting up in different ways and going back to locations that are in episode one or two. There's like a cool structure and feel to it.
Yeah, I think there's only one moment of like, this is a bit much of a coincidence
that they do that
these
a lot.
Characters met. For the most part, they avoid it. It happens like once, which I'm fine with. If it there wasn't like a reliance on it.
Yeah, it's just I don't know. It wasn't the main crux of what I was enjoying about it. Was like the mechanics of how everything was working like that. It was more like the aesthetic, the mystery around Walton Goggins. The like humor of the stuff in the vault, the like secrets of like what's Vault Tech doing, I like the whole, and it's in the games too, right, the gimmick vaults and like
what
was number 25 up to, and how does that contrast to Vault 60 or the world is cool and interesting to me, and they build it out like just enough.
Yeah, for sure. And the fact that it's a TV show makes it able to tell the story more interestingly.
Yeah.
Because all of the pre-war stuff in the games, apart from like the beginning of 4, is told through audio logs and reading stuff on terminals.
Yeah.
Like, that's not the most engaging way to tell a story. Uh-huh. And you don't really have a choice in...
Yeah, yeah.
In a game. In Fallout 3, there's a DLC where you like play a simulation of the Anchorage conflict in Alaska.
Yeah, I've heard about that before.
which is one way of doing it, but like it's the time hopping using the ghoul to like tie the two timelines together.
The ghoul stuff.
Yeah, like everything is set up and they use the universe and what's already pre-established in that universe to tell this story.
And teach rules to someone who, like me, who really doesn't get why everything is the way it is.
Yeah, and I'm definitely not, like, the biggest Fallout nut. Like, the one I've played the most is 4. 4 is the only one I've played to conclusion.
You played big chunks of Vegas, though.
Yeah, I've played a lot of Vegas. I've tried to finish Vegas 3 times, I think. The PC port is atrocious. but I've always had an affinity for the universe.
Yeah, so have I. That's why I've tried the game so many times.
Yeah, but kind of like you said, it's nice to be able to enjoy Fallout without playing it.
At least have that option, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is cool. And bunch of really talented just character actors in there. The like bad guy from Mr. Robot is the Brotherhood guy, that old dude.
That's right, that's who I thought was in Game of Thrones.
He's awesome. Kyle McGlock
Kyle McGlock.
Twin Peaks. The dad character. Walton Goggins obviously is the big standout. They even do stuff that like shouldn't work, but kind of just got me. Like they do the war line, they do it.
Yeah,
and it's that pause and everything. It's like, okay,
yeah,
you earned that. That's hilarious. You like got that in there, and it's not just looking at the camera.
Yeah,
just doing it for the sake of it. It's like in a moment, It's like in that last episode. It's
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
And even even not knowing the games very well, I know like some of the music from Fallout 4, and it's sprinkled in there. There are a couple of moments where they use it, and it was like, oh, this is cool.
It's used in reference specifically to New Vegas.
Oh, really?
I think that's the first time they use it, is when the new Californian Republic flag is shown. From New Vegas.
I had this real moment where I was like, oh, it's nice for like something that's based on a video game to not be ashamed that it's based on a video game.
And yeah.
Because like, I was thinking, I've seen like just coping desperate Halo fans who have like taken scenes from the show, and it's like, look, if we put the real music, look at the difference it makes. And it's like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like so obvious, you know?
Yeah, I was just kind of surprised they didn't use it more.
Yeah, it was like really restrained. Like, only having, I was for sure thought they were going to shove in like a Deathclaw or whatever. Because I thought they love shoving those guys in like they do the power armor all the time. But it's like, what, it's just a skull? Was the only little reference there.
Like right at the end.
I guess there were a few things that I didn't love. Some of the performances aren't great from like some random side characters that like come in that are like distractingly bad, just for like a scene or two. There is some like crazy CG that's like really obviously CG. But it wasn't really bugging me because there is something just so cartoony about the world. And I feel
It didn't. It never pulled me out. I was fine with it, and all things considered, there's a lot of TV shows that have looked like way
less. Yeah, that's why those sets were really standing out to me.
Yeah, I feel like that was more important, to have the, like, it's grounded in what looks like a real space. If you got like a dibby CG globular thing.
I thought the Brotherhood storyline took like quite a while to get good or interesting for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like I didn't really get where that was going until those characters were paired up and were kind of stuck together,
right.
And then that dynamic was actually way more interesting to me than what was going on previously.
It kind of relies on a MacGuffin. So there's not all that much investment from like his actual motivation to do what he's doing.
There was, and I know it is part of Fallout's whole aesthetic, and like world building is like this critique of capitalism thing, and that comes out a lot in the dialogue. Some of which was just felt, I don't know, it felt like kind of heavy-handed in how it was.
Yeah, on an Amazon Prime TV show.
Yeah,
an IP that's owned by Microsoft.
And like, Mr. Robot would do that as well, but like it was probably better written. Better presented. Because like I thought the writing was fun for when it's like there's like an action thing going on as well, and Goggins like killing everyone in a town or holding up someone in their kitchen or something, and he's got his kind of zingy lines or whatever.
Yeah,
that stuff. The corny guys in the vault and the main character's brother and that whole stuff. I loved that whole intrigue and whatnot. Some of it, I guess, just...
It's very heavy-handed. I guess slight spoilers, there's a scene with, like, a bunch of big business owners.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, what if we get a bunch of poor people and make them all fight? It's like...
Yeah, because it was like, there was a point where it was at a good level where that kind of stuff was being implied to be happening anyway, and you'd assume that would be happening, and by not showing it, it was kind of better, and then indulging to that degree was just like, all right.
Yeah.
I get like, is it, are you supposed to be over-exaggerating, or is this like to communicate how greedy this company is, and illustrate the point, and it felt just like you're making the same point just like again and again at this point. And the whole kind of show has been leaning that way anyway.
Yeah, I think I was fine with it because tonally it's so goofy. Mm-hmm. I just love that it is able to take itself seriously while being goofy. Like, mm-hmm. It's so far removed from any reality where it's like it's in the future, but culturally they're in the past.
Yeah.
It kind of works for me. Like, everything is exaggerated. Everything mm-hmm. is like, it's not grounded.
Yeah.
So critiquing capitalism in a world that doesn't reflect ours at all isn't as like atrocious to me.
Yeah. It's like a private company basically nukes the world. Spoilers, sorry. Private company makes it so the world is nuked in order to justify their like vault product.
Yeah, I don't know if that is like the law. Like, they did do it. I don't know if that scene was just to imply that they would.
Right. Okay.
Like, yeah, that's how far they would go.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if it doesn't happen, they're gonna make it happen anyway.
Yeah.
It may be in the law. Like I say, I'm not like that well read on Fallout
lore. Yeah, I know like nothing about Fallout lore, so.
But I like that angle.
And I was confused because like some of the responses and whatnot I've seen online, people like really anti it before it came out. Then it switched on a dime, but then just like the games, there's all these subsections of like, oh, people don't like the aesthetic of Fallout 4 and 76, and that imagery is used in the show a lot. So then that section of Bethesda fans like are complaining about that because that's and it's like, oh my god, like what part? Because I saw New Vegas fans complaining that it like disrespects New Vegas. And like, it's just like, well, so what is like, what actually is happening?
I didn't really get that vibe at all, because like I've played New Vegas a fair amount, and the fact that it's included to the degree that it is, like the spoilers, the end of the show is setting up that it's like going to be based in Vegas.
Yeah, which, so it looks like a New Vegas season, basically.
Yeah, which I feel like it you don't really. They know who they're making the show for. They're making it like for,
yeah.
They've managed to do it. They've made it for like new people and hardcore fans.
Yeah, and that's another hilarious contrast with the Halo show, where the news around that was like they were bragging. I think it was showrunners or writers on season one. Like, yeah, we don't even play the games. We don't even.
Yeah.
Whereas the writers here and Jonathan Nolan, Chris Nolan's brother. Talking about, oh yeah, I love Fallout 3. And he's like, actually has played the game and like, gets what it's going for.
Yeah, and you can feel that. You can feel that watching the show. Like,
yeah, there's like, everyone's having fun. There's like an infectious, joyous kind of thing going on.
Yeah, everyone's excited to be
everyone
there.
Everyone gets it. All these like random comedians showing up and like, they're selling it. This really works. And I bet you Amazon's going to take away like the worst, dumbest... like takes from this, because they're gonna see, oh, Lord of the Rings failed, wonder why. Probably because it's serious. We need everything to be the boys and be like jokey and be goofy, and that like just never do anything serious ever again. But yeah, I enjoyed it. I'd watch another show of it. Need more Goggins for sure. That character rocks.
Yeah, I was getting worried that he was gonna croak towards the end, but
and just briefly before we go to mid-break, I wanted to mention Invincible as well, because yeah, Jim's holding up, I bought the Compendium 1, which I guess, brief aside, like there's this one guy who like he's been building up like a villain in Invincible, like building power in the background for like ages. I've seen his comments, I've seen his rage, where like he He's got this whole conspiracy theory about me, like, disliking Attack on Titan and, like, being really unfair to Attack on Titan. And because I posted on Twitter a picture, like, I bought this, I'm going to read it. He'd, like, taken that and put a screenshot of it on the subreddit, the JAR subreddit, like, shit-talking Invincible, saying his big mouth. And it was all stemmed from Attack on Titan for some reason. It was just, okay. I don't really get the comparison, but okay, here we are. But I read all of that manga, and I'm now starting to read Invincible because I'm not patient enough to wait for how long the show is taking to get through it.
Well, where do you stand on Attack on Titan?
Well, I'll save that for another day. Yeah, so I haven't actually read up to where season 2 ends, which wrapped up like a couple months ago or something, a month or two.
Mm-hmm. No one's seen it because there was no advertising.
Yeah, luckily I guess it's got like rabid fans. So it's...
I mean, I only found out it was out because of you.
Yeah, and I only saw it because I think I was scrolling on Twitter or something, and there was just a targeted ad that was like, new episode out, and I was like, oh yeah, you're back.
That's crazy.
Yeah, the way they released it was stupid. I don't know
why, it's like they're trying to sandbag it. Like, why are you hiding it? It's awesome, it's really good. Uh-huh. Why are you hiding it?
Yeah.
Why are you like splitting it in half it's and not telling audience, anyone?
I think season one's better, but it's like hard to beat, like, that last episode, the first and last episode of what just that chunk of the story has, it's like almost unfair.
It's got like a real hook.
To such a like, yeah, and a rug pull moment for the main character. But that's not to say they don't do some cool stuff. There's some, it feels kind of more scatterbrained as far as like, and the comic does it too, where it like kind of jumps around a lot and you don't really see why it's doing that until like, 10 issues later or something. So this random thing I thought was a throwaway subplot is actually coming back, getting fleshed out now. This character who like sucked or was lame, like Rexplosion or whatever, it's like in this episode suddenly they're gonna do something to him, flesh him out,
kind of
not redeem him but just make you see him in a different way,
make you want him around.
And it's like,
I don't think I've watched a show that does that so effectively. Like, it's the, like you say, the way it just throws something in there and then two episodes later you've forgotten about it, and then suddenly it comes back a little bit and then it's gone again. It's like, okay, this is going to turn into something, but I've got no idea when.
Yeah, and it's really good at getting characters who, despite their power, or some are like so OP, putting them in situations where the tension is real and it feels like they're actually in danger, and the stakes as a result of the thing that's about to happen is actually going to change everything. Like, everything feels important. And things can just completely change on a dime. Like, when, I don't know if I should mention specifics. What do you think?
Well, I could say spoiler warning.
Yeah, I'll put just a spoiler in the timecode, but when that Viltrumite woman like just shows up when at dinner. That's a good example. Or like when when he goes to meet his dad and his dad does like a kid with a bug. And he's just playing it so straight, and he's just, his Mark's voice actor rocks. He is awesome.
He's incredible.
He really sells it, and he really like makes up for some of the like animation stuff that is not up to par.
What did you think of the self-referential moment where they're describing?
That's
how
a reference to a really funny gag in the comic, where Mark goes to get his comic book signed by the comic artist, and the comic artist makes a joke about reusing panels.
Right.
But they adapted that, to kind of prod the animation industry. I just think it would be funnier if the show, like, did look incredible at points or something.
Saying that, it looks significantly better than season one.
It looks better than season one, but, man, like, there is some really good stuff in the last episode of season one. Sure if they've got
the whole budget went into the
last
episode.
That episode is kind of like everything, like just some of the like poses and stuff that are like straight out of the comic or whatnot that are just like burned into my mind. Just the brutality of like the lines that are coming out there as well, and it's fucked up. But yeah, the stuff that's like different from the book so far, mostly I'm like, yeah, I see why the show did that. Like, because I think like the writer Robert Kirkman had a, he's got a big involvement in the show, and it seems like, writer brain of like, oh, if I could have added this to this character then maybe, and that seems kind of what the show is doing. Yeah, my biggest notes are just like, I wish the animation was slightly better. Maybe reel back on some of the celebrity voices and like put the money into the animation. As long as we got Mark and Omni-Man voices around, I don't care. And his mum as well, actually, is very good.
She's a great character. Basically, every character that they give time to is worthwhile.
I love the twins. I love Robot as well. They just got these really random, weird characters, and the fact it's all like early on in the comic, it's just super, just like parody heavy. It almost feels like it's like making fun, not quite boys level, but it's like, yeah, this panel's making fun of Star Trek. This panel's making fun of this nerd thing. This is making fun of Fantastic Four. This is making fun of Batman. And the way it like builds up into. Because I remember reading The Walking Dead as well, which is his other book.
The same writer?
Yeah, Kirkman created both, yeah. And that story, having things happen where you get that, like, pit in your stomach thing, and it feels like there's stake to the world and it's unpredictable.
Yeah.
Like Game of Thrones kind of thing was, you know. Yeah. Good like hooks, and it's like addictive in that way.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, just make it a bit faster. Season two feels more like they're setting up a bunch of strands for like stuff that's going to be important later.
Yeah,
I like how they put a pin on some of the more like you have to do it, but we got to get past it. Comic book trope type things of like, I'm trying to juggle like doing college work and being a superhero. And like by the end he's like, you know what, I'm just this is pointless. like I'm gonna live thousands of years, like this really is pointless. Getting to the kind of wrapping up the stuff with his girlfriend and how that was like inevitable that it couldn't work. I'm glad that's got a bow on it.
The only thing is I feel like they could have wrapped that up in less time. I think the audience twigs on way earlier than the character.
And that's just not a great character. That equivalent character is really different in the book and also sucks there. One of the biggest improvements is his gay friend in the show who's straight in the comic. But like he has nothing to do. He's like such a boring, like pointless character so far anyway.
Yeah.
I'm like 25 issues in or something. And he's like just there kind of. Where they actually give
him something kind of,
to do.
He's quite important.
Yeah, so guess we'll see after these messages.
Yeah. Giant Media shirts now, or I'm gonna hurt you. Description below.
Yeah. Good afternoon, welcome. Good afternoon, welcome.
Good afternoon, welcome. Welcome.
I guess, welcome to the second half of the show, where we head over to the Jar Media subreddit. And there's a juicy little suggestion thread there where you can ask us questions about anything, any which way. Hello, baby.
Yeah.
Do you like my style, baby? Alfonso II can get us going here. Bebe boys, how's the Eck project going? Or I guess as some call it, the EC.
Steady.
Steady as she... What is it?
Steady as she goes.
Steady as she goes, they say.
Steady as she goes.
Oh, that's got potential.
It's already a song.
I should.
Jack White.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah. I was just covering it.
I was my eyes turned into dollar signs.
When you hear
at the potential of
a fat beat.
Sinek Dong Doki 239 says Universal Pictures is planning a terrible, terrible soft reboot of Back to the Future. Who are the new and returning cast members, and what's the premise? I don't think that's real, but I think this is a hypothetical.
Yeah,
because I think Zemeckis like has a, he's got like a blood pact with that other writer where he's like, no one's doing anything. I'll make three Back to the Futures if we have the rights, and you never touch it unless we, well, until we die.
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah. So we'll,
have they died? Has Robert Zemeckis died?
He's gonna be killed soon.
He's gonna be killed so
for
they
the
can,
rights.
So they can desecrate Back to the Future, yeah, like they've done Ghostbusters or any number of other.
Well, it's what, like 60 years until they can.
Oh, it's just in the public domain or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's answer the question then. Who are the new and returning cast members, and what's the premise?
Justin Roiland plays both.
I was going to make a similar joke where I was going to have it so Rick and Morty are characters in the film, and they like team up with Doc and Marty.
Yeah. Like what's that basketball movie?
Space Jam.
Space Jam. Space Jam style.
Space Bring Jam. Space Jam model.
Yeah, the new Space Jam as well. So like, it
or
can
legacy
have,
model.
Is it? Who? What? Like mega corporation owns?
Get the Clockwork Orange rapists in there.
Maybe the Clockwork Orange rapists get the car and they start raping all across time.
So they got to team up Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
Maybe Jerry. Gets
stuck. Yeah, get Jerry in there. Why not? Get the whole.
Have you
cast.
Seen the Back to the Future trilogy? Have you just seen the first one? Or what? Even the first one? I don't actually know if you've seen it.
I've definitely seen the first one.
You probably like
I don't
the cowboy
I've,
one.
Yeah,
it's pretty fun.
I don't think I've seen the sequels.
People like hate 3, I think. But I thought it was like fun and silly.
Yeah.
Enjoyable.
Yeah, I should. It's just, you know.
Kind of breezy.
I prefer like watching things I've already seen. Do you know what I mean? You know,
kind of.
I don't want to be introduced to new ideas.
Ah, right. Well, I can relate to that part. Press Start 14 has one I'm mixed on. Thanks, Alex, for making it easier to annoy my friend. I enjoy annoying my friends / roommate in minor ways, like asking them stupid questions or saying something strange, to see how they respond. Sort of like old crackhead Alex era, though perhaps less extreme. Eventually, he learned to ignore when I'd say stupid shit and not respond. I decided to use Alex's classic trick of going, eh? After no response. And lo and behold, the trick always seems to annoy him enough to respond. Thanks, Alex. I don't know how I feel about that. I don't know if that's too. I never intended.
Do you
for
feel
that.
Like Einstein? Like he discovered.
Like Einstein.
Yeah, like Oppenheimer. What have I done?
What have I done?
What have I unveiled to the world?
What have I?
Eh?
I don't know. I wonder. Do I give off the impression that like that's just all I? Every interaction I have with people is like, you're a poo.
Eh?
Or, like something.
I mean, you can't fault a listener for taking.
I guess
that.
I'm maybe this is the glass break moment for me where I'm like realize how I've acted my whole life.
You reflect on your Oppenheimerisms.
What? Oh, one bad day says Sting not being finished is making me very uncomfortable. Can you please just put Sting 404 in the title of the next episode, even if it's not a Sting episode?
No.
Of course not. You knew around here.
Yeah, that's stupid.
Like, really? You're even asking that question?
I'm thinking about cancelling it.
I'm thinking about cancelling it. And I nearly cancelled this question, and there's no obligation to answer it, and there's only one reason I bring it up. GG Noodles 1 says, "Hey Jar, I've got an external hemorrhoid taken out a few days ago, and it really hurt. Thoughts? Have you got any hemi experience?"
Dude,
and don't... that's what made me screenshot it.
Hemi?
Hemi. You can't be shortening it like you're so familiar and you're pals with it.
He was listening to Drake and he thought that's what Drake was
that's what he's
about.
Rapping about.
My hemis.
Every now and again there's a comment that will jump out because of the phrasing.
Yeah.
It's like, you're way too comfortable with that phrasing.
You might use it all the time. I mean,
yeah, me and Hemi went down to
yeah, Hemi goes everywhere with me. I mean do it. Hell yeah. I'm down with this guy, like it's his experience. Or her.
Very adult of you. Very mature.
Yeah, if you wanna hear about hemorrhoids, it's just like listen to the other like 400 episodes.
Yeah, you gotta do a control F search for hemorrhoids.
Yeah, on the thing. Talked about it more than fucking Halo.
Let's do this one. A little bit chunky, but hear me out. From the Perils of Shuffle. Hey Jar. Just following on from your future potential visits to America, I was actually out in San Francisco the same week as you were in Vegas. Me and some friends stayed for 4 nights in the city, followed by hiring a car to travel to... Oh god, I'm going to embarrass myself. Yosemite? For the rest? Yeah, do you know
I think that's right.
Yosemite. Hooray. Mm. What you said about homelessness in LA was pretty applicable to San Fran. The city is currently going through a fentanyl crisis, as is a lot of places in America and Canada, I think it's spread to as well, and has always had a huge amount of homeless people. The first thing we saw as we left the subway from the airport was a homeless woman screaming at everyone walking out of the station, swinging a huge plank of wood, saying she was going to kill us. I saw at least 2 people taking shits in the street. What's wild about it, though, is this sort of unspoken thing where you're supposed to not see all the mad stuff going on around you and just admire the city, as if you're supposed to disconnect from all the poverty and social issues and focus on the more affluent and culturally impressive side of it all. Needless to say, as a fellow neurotic, I find that particularly hard to do. I would recommend San Fran, though. The Golden Gate Bridge and Alcatraz were particular highlights. Also, the first time I've seen fully functional and hireable self-driving cars, Waymo cars in SF at least. We are truly living in a cyberpunk dystopia. As much as I enjoyed the city, I have to say actually driving through the state was the real highlight for me. I deliberately drove us way out of the way to small towns and weird little stop-offs. And sometimes it was clear they didn't get tourists much and were seriously some of the kindest and most welcoming people I've ever met whilst traveling. They seemed genuinely interested in us and wanted to give us tons of tips and places to go and things to see in Yosemite. Yosemite itself was insanely beautiful. It was still out of season, so there wasn't a huge influx of other tourists. Some of the higher mountain ranges were actually impassable due to the heavy snow that occurred overnight. It was pretty bizarre, hiking up mountain trails one day, dripping with sweat, and going back the following day to see it transformed into a real winter wonderland. Anyway, no question really, just thought I'd share a bit of my experience and recommendation at least for seeing Yosemite or other national parks. Bear Bear Boys. He was basically doing exactly what we were talking about, dream doing one day of some kind of like drive.
Like a road trip.
Good idea, yeah, go there, yeah. Hire a car, go through some natural... wonderland.
Yeah, it does the neurotic side of me just thinks it's the setup for a horror movie. Like it doesn't get more generic.
It's so
than
remote.
That. Yeah. Yeah. but yeah, I think it's funny. Like the hub of technological advancement in America, basically in the world. Mm. Is in San Francisco, where it's known for its homeless people pooing in the streets.
It's weird that, yeah. And it's not like we don't have homeless people here.
We do.
It is different, though.
Something I've noticed every time I've visited America is the abundance of homelessness everywhere.
Mm-hmm. There's
I've been to three
different.
I've been to three different states, and they are in abundance.
Mm-hmm.
It's
yeah.
It's pretty shocking.
But people like have this kind of sad, very sad attitude where people look and they think they got themselves into that mess.
Yeah, yeah.
There's yeah.
Reaganomics.
They might have taken a drug once, and that's yeah. why they're there.
They took a weed, and
something like
it branched
something too simplistic, or like just you're just not thinking about this very deeply. Like.
Yeah, and it is that like Reagan, Thatcher, like personal
responsibility, yeah, yeah,
and individual like. Power. There's no acknowledgement that your
pick yourself up by your bootstraps.
Yeah,
life
circumstances has no bearing on where you might end up, which is stupid, dumb, and idiot.
It's stupid, dumb, and idiot, and it's unfortunate that entire like communities and enclaves can just form in places like LA and San Francisco. And there was, I think, someone replied to it. I didn't screenshot it, saying it was. Happening in Austin, Texas as well, and other big cities. And yeah, you see it in London, you see it in most cities, actually. But yeah.
Yeah.
It does seem a different intensity, maybe.
You gotta wait for the trickle down economics to reach the bottom, you know? It must be like halfway there, still in the gutter or something. Like it's going down. Just wait for it, and it'll all be fine. It works. The system.
Seeing as we're already on this kind of thing, the Blimp Fruit says, "Hi fellas, was refreshing to hear your thoughts on the state of transport in the U.S. and U.K. and how it compares to some other European countries like the Netherlands, Denmark, Germany, etc. It really is sad living in the U.K. seeing our lack of good trains and cycle paths, and then comparing it to our neighbors who do all of that so much better than us." On the point you made about the US being a blank canvas, the insanity goes even further than this. The USA was in fact built on its railroads first, and many cities had streetcar/tram lines. But the car lobbies in the mid-20th centuries caused the streetcar lines to be ripped out to make more space for cars, and in some cities minority neighborhoods were demolished to make way for massive highways. Keep up the great work, guys, and game/goon on. Nice, isn't it?
Yep.
More trams, I say.
Everywhere should have trams.
Yeah, trams are awesome. There are good tram systems up north. There was a good one in Toronto when I was there. I had a cool one. It is possible. Places in Europe do it.
Yeah. They kind of represent like a
threat.
Extreme communist danger. I think so. You gotta approach the tram with a bit of trepidation.
Yeah, I can imagine all of the like Parks and Rec tier like council meetings of people picketing trams and things like this. Because why? What? Because it might turn it into a 15-minute city convenience, which is actually a trap.
Yeah,
it's actually a conspiracy to trap you.
You're not allowed to leave.
Fit Search 9634 says, "Bear, bear, boy, boys. Have a question for you. Who'd win in a fight? A lobotomized ape or three small genius monkeys? The fight takes place in a small enclosed forest area with plenty of rocks and sticks laying around. The battle only ends once the ape has massacred all three monkeys or the monkey team have successfully eliminated the ape. The monkeys each have an IQ of 300, while the ape has no thoughts or feelings other than pure rage." In deep thought on that one.
Yeah.
I think the ape gets it.
Really?
It's got pure rage on his side, and it's all it needs to do, they've got, you know, they've got human hands, they've got thumbs, opposable thumbs. If the hand reaches the limb of one of those monkeys, it's over. So as long as if they can outpace...
Monkeys are pretty nimble, though. Like,
They are, but to beat the ape, they're going to have to do something to him, right?
Yeah, but what ape and what monkey?
You know, I was picturing like a chimpanzee.
See, I was picturing a gorilla. Because I feel like a gorilla wouldn't be able to keep up with monkeys.
And that three monkeys coordinating with extreme intelligence.
Yeah, that's like a combined IQ of 900. That's
they could probably, like, there, they could figure out, like, how to tire out the gorilla or something.
Yeah, tire like, out the gorilla and then fashion, like, a catapult.
But I'm thinking if it's a chimp, who are fast, who can probably catch up, are nimble, are, like, 10 times stronger than humans, I think they might be done, even with that intelligence. Like, what the hell could they do? A raging chimp. I don't think they stand a chance, these poor little monks.
Yeah, but the chimp is lobotomized.
Yeah, but he specified, right, that all it has no feelings except pure rage.
But does it have, like, good coordination and stuff? I feel like if you're lobotomized, then you're gonna
I think he only mentioned that so, like, to take out any element of empathy, I guess. I don't know. Right?
I don't know.
Even though chimps I don't enjoy know what this guy's motivation anyway, so
yeah,
I quite like it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Find out.
do it for real. That was a funny thing about the Fallout show, where some of the concept of the vaults is like a society where scientists dictate the society.
Yeah, they have like 100% control.
100% control of unregulated science.
Yeah. Yeah, and spoilers, when he's like dying, he's like, don't use this as an example of when you give scientists 100% freedom.
That was awesome. Let me see if I can find one more nice one. I'm gonna do two more. This one from Map Runner UK. Did you know that there was supposed to be a London version of the Vegas Sphere, but it was rejected by Sadiq Khan? Did you also know that Topgolf was founded in the UK? And there are four locations here. The closest to you is probably the Surrey one. Bear Bear Boys.
Sorry!
I didn't know either of those things, but I'm glad Sadiq Khan did reject that idea, because it belongs in Vegas. Big and stupid and, like, elaborate and...
Yeah.
Like, this big, like, waste of power.
Yeah.
Then it's gonna show you preachy movies about the environment and destroying it. Yeah. Let's not do that in London. We don't need that, I don't think. I think we're good.
We'll have an orb someday. Yeah.
Everything will be orbs soon enough.
Yeah.
Houses will be orbs. Would you want an orb house?
I want a pyramid house that shoots a beam of light into the sky.
Everyone can, like, shoot beams up and, like, disturb air traffic.
Yeah. Make birds, like, fly into trees and shit.
Confuse birds so they think it's always daytime a little bit.
Yeah. I want wildlife to be as disruptive as possible.
Doesn't that happen with the eclipse or something? Like, birds get confused when the sun is covered and they're like, oh, nighty. Night time.
Yeah, and then the moon moves and they're like, morning.
And finally, see if you can pass this one for me. I feel like I've read this, and maybe I'm just stupid. Read this a few times, but he's kind of Jordan Peterson-ing us a little bit here.
Oh, okay, interesting.
Rated DG says, is it bad to actively contribute to an institution you predominantly disagree with on an ideological level to avoid dying alone?
Well, first you have to break down the word what.
No, break down the word is.
Yeah.
Is it bad to actively contribute to an institution you predominantly disagree with on an ideological level to avoid dying alone?
What do you mean? Like,
actively contribute to an institution...
I'm hung up on the institution part and dying alone.
Yeah, why does the dying alone have to do with being a part of an institution you don't necessarily agree with, for a start? Did like you ask AI to write like a wordy question or something?
I mean, when it comes to contributing to institutions that you morally disagree with, I'm afraid a lot of the time you don't really have a choice. Unless you want to be a total, like, hermit reject, off the grid, live in a, like, a hole in the ground. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have a choice. Things are set up, things are way bigger than, like, any one person can control.
Mm-hmm. And that's meant that, kind of hypocrisy thing is also mentioned in the Fallout show. There's, like, a little debate, conversation about that kind of idea. With Walton Goggins and where it's like if you disagree with the system that you are born into and a part of, the answer isn't necessarily to just reject it. Surely the answer is to use it against itself. That's in theory better than just doing nothing. Right?
Yeah,
just handling.
But then you're just kind of doing the thing, like the. It's a snake eating its own tail.
Yeah, yeah. Then it's something bigger, as you're saying, than yourself. Like, you can't control the system you're born into. If you were born into the royal family hundreds of years ago, you know, might be pretty good for you.
Yeah.
If you were born as, like, a peasant, might have been pretty shit.
Yeah, you know? What can you change?
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you, like... Change, I guess, comes in the form of uniting with like-minded people. But if you're like an anti-capitalist, or like good luck not having a job and never buying anything,
yeah,
like I wish you well, but you're gonna.
I think you should set up a merch store and sell merch.
Yeah,
to fund your anti-capitalist movement.
Yeah,
saying yeah, eat the rich, maybe.
There you go.
That might be funny. So a thought-provoking question. I think I might see when Jordan Peterson's touring and take that to him and stunlock him for 3 days.
Yeah, he'll just start crying. Like, yeah, I wouldn't mind a little bit more context on that question. Specifically the last bit. Like, what's the institution you're morally against that stands in the way? Like, Tinder? You're talking about getting, like, Tinder?
But Tinder's not an institution.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, what are you talking
what
about?
What constitutes an institute?
I feel like there needs to be some kind of, like, governing body involved.
Yeah, the board of dating app directors.
Fuck this.